Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show!
Joel Patterson.
Joe Howard.
Welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show, man. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. Just enjoying beautiful Los Angeles traffic today. I'm up here today.
I know. Fuck LA. Hey, I just want to tell everybody that this is the hardest member of Blackboard Jungle to get a hold of right here. Why is that, Joel?
Maybe I'm lost in the desert, man.
No, hey, how is it? I heard you moved out there. What's going on, man? You moved out to Joshua Tree?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, bought a place and bought another place and moved our shop out there. We're doing we have an Airbnb business out there, and we've got a vintage clothing store out there, and there's a lot of great musicians and artists. It's a very cool spot.
I know. You know what? Dan Halen, a friend of Britt's, used to live out there, and he raved about it, man. And I was supposed to go out there 1,000 times, but I don't know, dude. I just you always get distracted on the way out there to go in somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, next time you come out, come visit, man.
I definitely will. Man. So anyway, The reunion's coming up, man. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I get excited every year.
What about who's your favorite member of Blackboard Jungle?
Oh man, that's a hard one because everybody's so different in their own right, and all such great musicians, and I love all those guys. We have such a long history. So
that's a perfect PC answer. But I'm asking, who pisses you off the most out of all of them?
Who pisses me off? I mean, no one pisses me off really anymore. I mean, Dave always. I never feel like I get to see Dave much. He kind of turns up and then plays a gig and takes off. So, I don't know.
That was Joel. That was actually a terrible question, dude. Who is your favorite dude to hang out with in Japan?
In Japan, probably you.
That's what I'm talking about, motherfucker. That was
great. Dude, it would not have been what it was without you, man, and Jamie and Greg.
Oh,
it was so much fun.
We had a great time. Fun. That's like one of those things that I look back at that trip and I'm like, I can't believe, first of all, I can't believe we all lived. Second of all, I'm like, how did nobody get arrested? It was insane.
Yeah. Throwing water balloons off the balconies and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Hey, are you, what are you driving these days?
I still have my 2001 Ford Ranger that's been a trooper since I bought it brand new back then.
Nice.
And then I have a Jeep Cherokee that's fairly new. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and we just bought a 1963 travel trailer and pulled it home from Northern California the other day. We're going to use that to take a little camping trip and stuff. It's pretty sweet. It's got a lot of character.
That's amazing. How is your wife, Kim, doing?
She's doing good. Really good.
Nice, dude. Hey, let me ask you, how involved are you with the set list for the show?
I mean, Britt usually kind of makes it, I think, and I think we all throw suggestions in. I know there's been a few years where I was wanting to play some songs, and some get in there and some don't, I guess. But I'd say overall, probably Britt is the one that really decides the set list. And being that he's a DJ, he kind of knows how things flow and everything, so he knows when to house them up and some bounds and stuff like that. So
definitely, man. Hey, dude, I'll never forget on that Santa Monica rehearsal room, the first time you ever came from Pasadena with your drums and played, and came into the room, and you were quiet as hell. I came out to help you. You set up your drums and started playing, and I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be the new drummer right here. I knew it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was a great start. Yeah. I mean, that was like, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, you know, like Jamie was going to be in. Jamie, I don't know what really was going on. I know that once they were trying out drummers, it didn't take long, dude. I think you were like the second drummer. Dude, you might have been the first drummer. I don't even want to mess the story
up. Yeah, I don't remember, but no, we clicked right away. It was kind of one of those things. You know?
Yeah, and then plus you were like Pasadena for kids that were rolling around on skateboards in Hollywood. We're like, where's that? You know?
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, that's so far. And it's only like 15 minutes away.
You know?
Well, back.
Exactly. Yeah. We had Britt's car and we didn't drive it anywhere. We were just skateboard kids.
Yeah.
It's funny, man. Hey, so yeah. What is your best memory from the road of Blackboard Jungle and Pussycat?
Best memories? Man, I mean, there were some great gigs. I'm trying to remember which gigs overall were like, God, I think you put me on the spot. No. I don't remember.
Well, I mean, you guys are playing always, you know, at that point, you guys are selling out the strip, no problem. And then when it was just building up. And then when you guys got on the road with Pussycat, I mean, you guys are playing in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, you know what? Masquerade in Atlanta was probably the best one. It was great. It was like, it was, the crowd was amazing. It's such a cool place. But they're all great because we were this band. Yeah, we were drawing people in LA, but to go out of LA and go across the country, we could have done it if we weren't touring with a band like that at the time. So
yeah,
it was awesome. It was good times with everybody.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't mean to get too personal, but do you think you and Kim gonna have a baby?
We've been talking about it. We better do it soon if we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
But it kind of comes back and forth. I feel like we're at the place kind of where we could now, because it seems like being a musician for all these years and stuff, it's just things, you know,
yeah, dude,
it takes a little longer to settle into life and to start feeling a little more stable and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
so it's like now we moved out there and LA is just too expensive to live, and I mean it's just crazy, and so it's been really, it's been all around a good move. So, yeah, so now if there was a time, it would be now or next year or something, you know?
Joe, as much as I love L.A., I really do, okay? And like, let's be honest, I was a career renter in L.A., okay? I mean, it's untouchable. But, I mean, I do miss all the people, and I love going back. I have all my spots I go to. It's great. But where I live now in the Poconos is probably the most beautiful place ever. And when people will say like, why do you live there? But and then they come up here and they buy a house. That's a true story.
Oh, absolutely. I love LA too. We all have like one of the most important, some of the best times of our lives. We're all spent here. I grew up here. But there's so many other great places to live in America in general, you know, that are much, much cheaper. And you can get a nice big old house, something, or new house, whatever it is, you know, but it's just, yeah, the affordability. We got lucky with Joshua Tree because it was kind of a hidden secret, and it's starting not to be anymore, but we kind of got in at the right time. So we were able to do what you could do in another state, probably 2 hours outside of LA, which is amazing. So,
yeah, I love it. Dude, there's something about the desert, man. Like, me and Jamie talk about it all the time. Like, there's nothing like it. You could, anywhere you've ever been, but when you're like, even when you're driving to Palm Springs and you get into the desert, you're like, this is amazing. I would love to live here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just a big open space, and there's so much cool, like, architectural landscape. And it's just, yeah, it's awesome.
I do love it, man. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the bands and some of the like signed bands you've been in on the side. Are you still doing any of that?
I'm still playing a lot, actually. Like, I've played last gig I did was in Mexico City a couple months ago, and I'm doing this thing in Austin, Texas in a couple weeks, a big festival out there.
What band?
This band is called, it's called David J. and the Gentleman Seed.
Nice.
And David J. is, he's a founding member of Bauhaus and Love and Rockets, who Love and Rockets, all through the BBJ years, is like one of my biggest influences.
Nice.
You know, so it's very cool. Yeah.
What about, you were playing with Gene Loves Jezebel for a while. What happened with that?
Played with them off and on for years and kind of have done things, you know, as of, some few years back, but I still do gigs with Jay Aston.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so we'll play acoustic and I'll play percussion or
nice.
Whatever suits it. So yeah, I actually just saw him today. So he's one of my best friends.
And what about, Lassie Foundation?
That's, that was a band I was in like late 2000s. I with my friend, longtime friend, Jeff Schroeder, a bunch of other, you know, longtime friends. And that was, they had been around for years and I joined them for a couple of years in the late 2000s.
Nice, man. Yeah, it's good to see Jeff in Smashing Pumpkins. That's cool.
Oh, man, so totally.
Right. He's an insane guitar player. Insane.
He's one of the best, for sure. Amazing. So, yeah.
But listen, man, I know, dude, the traffic, like when you go to LA from Joshua Tree, it's such a culture shock. I mean, as soon as you get, what are you taking, 210?
I go 210, and I go, when I go off traffic hours, it's 2 hours. I was in Santa Monica today, it took me like, well over an hour to get over the hill to the valley today.
Yeah.
Where I've been doing a bunch of stuff today in LA. So I come up here, you know, a day a week or so and still I'm up here for different stuff, but pretty much eventually I'm gonna be out there like 100% of the time. So
like you gotta pick up in and out on the way out, bring it home?
Yeah, I'll always.
No,
actually Morongo Casino.
Oh, Morongo, that's right.
Yeah.
Dude, that place is crazy. Just in the middle of nowhere, just a huge building.
It started off as a tent, and it just grew. It's crazy.
I know. I lived in Glendora, so I was right where the 210 would turn into the 57, and then it would go two more exits for 210. It was over, and it would stop like right before Laverne. So when I went back, everybody's like, "Dude, the 210 goes all the way to the 15." I'm like, "Get out of here, man! That's such a beautiful ride, man."
It's great. It's totally a lifesaver coming in from out there. I mean, the 10 late at night can be pretty quick because it's really direct.
Yeah.
But it depends where you're going to in LA as well. I usually go to Pasadena, and go. It just depends. But the 210's awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's a much better drive. Yeah.
I'm glad they got it done, and they did it fast too. And last time I was out there, I went to I actually was driving from Vegas to LA, and I'm like, the 210, no shit. So I jumped on that, and I couldn't believe it. Like, it's just that part of the foothills is like one of the most beautiful parts of Southern California to me.
Yeah, it is. No, I love it. Great.
That's amazing. So what's next? Like, what are you doing as far as like after the reunion and stuff? Like, what band will you be playing with again?
Well, I'm kind of two projects. So David J., the Gentleman Thieves, were releasing recorded a single and did a video, and that's coming out the end of this month.
Oh, nice.
So I'm sure we do like intermittent little just dates all over the place. You know, it's really cool. So.
And your job allows you to do that because you own your company, right?
Yeah, I'm totally self-employed, so I can do that.
You've always managed to do that pretty good, man. Like, no matter what, you never really had that job that, like, you always could get on go on tour or go play a show somewhere. It was always like that for you, which is, that's actually really cool. And I remember that Kim was doing something with jewelry and stuff too. So you guys have definitely been crafty and been able to do a lot of stuff, you know, in both your careers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we've been lucky, and we're well diversified. So we have like multiple things going on. So, you know, one might get real busy and then one, you know, so it's all even. It's not like having one job to where if you lose one job, you don't have any source of income. So it's kind of cool how we worked it out.
Let me ask you a few questions. Have you, did you meet Aiden yet, Kenny's son?
I have. He's super cute. I'm super happy for Kenny.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I love Kenny.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
No, he's a great dad. What about, did you meet Gia yet, Jamie's daughter?
I feel like I have, but just being that I'm not in that area much at all. I feel like I have, but to be honest, I can't remember.
When's the last time you seen Tommy Black?
Tommy Black, I probably at the Viper Room. Either the last BBJ show or sometime shortly thereafter. I think it's been a while since I've seen him.
Yeah,
we've been kind of messaging each other a little bit here and there, but not. You know, I'd love to get together with him and have a coffee or something.
Yeah, but I'm dying to see what he's going to do next.
Yeah, we've always been really good friends, but you just kind of, you go, life takes you in different directions sometimes. So we made some great music together at one point, and so.
What band was that?
We kind of never settled on a name. It was Melody, called Melody Black for a while, and different stuff, but it was kind of an ongoing recording project that him and I did, and then played some live gigs. Our friend Kenny Queens he played guitar for a while, and it was a cool thing. But that was a long time ago.
I hope that Tommy comes back. Like, absolutely, I think for me, like, I loved Sparkler. I like. And also,
oh, it was a great record. Yeah,
dude, Palo Alto too, and even Golden State, like everything that Tommy's done, I've loved. So, and then
he's a talented guy, and he's a great songwriter. He's written some of the best songs of anyone I've ever played with, and he's a fantastic songwriter.
I know he definitely is. He's like when I heard in Sparkler, and even on like, dude, have you heard Blaster yet? Was Scott Whelan's record with him on it?
I haven't, actually.
Joel, I'm telling you, man, that is, to me, it's like a vintage rock and roll album. Like, dude, it's so riffy. It's basically like, it reminds me of old Stooges. It reminds me of Bowie. It's got a lot of jam, like really jammy shit on it. Like, you haven't heard any like straightforward rock and roll album like this in a long time. And they're great songs. It's very likable, but you'll have it on just because there's just so, like, Jeremy and Tommy, like, just hearing Tommy singing on that, it's amazing. Like, Tommy's the only backup in that band. It has always been, you know what I mean? So
I'll have to check that out.
I think you'll fall in love with that record. That's, honestly, out of all the stuff Tommy's done, I got to say that I like that the most. I think that was like the best album to come out in a long time. And I'm not just saying that because what happened with Scott and stuff. Like, Tommy's had a tough year. I've tried to get him on the show. Like, I know he got a little mad at me and stuff. I was, I'm trying to do a show and a lot of people want to hear from him, but he's not ready. I think I pushed him a little too much and I apologized to him. I was like, dude, I'm really sorry, man. But hopefully when he's ready to come on, that'd be a fun interview. But I mean, all my friends have been in so many cool different bands, and I'm the one like always buying the stuff. Like, I have records and cassettes and CDs from bands like from way back till now. And it's crazy to see like Josh from Slam Hounds, being in Buck Cherry and doing what he's doing. Like, all those, even a lot of the guys from the Strip and from our era are still out there playing music, especially you guys. I mean, there's been so many different bands after Blackboard. Like, Britt went in to Doll. He was on Dolls for the Millions, and then he went into Substitutes, and then MK4. Now him and Paul are, I don't know if you've heard any of Britt's stuff with Paul, any of the MK4 stuff, dude. It's amazing.
He's been sending me some demos here and there. It's great, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the most, I don't think I've heard the most much recent, but I'm sure they'll send me another batch, but it's good to see everybody just doing their art, man, and just pushing forward, just purely for the love of playing, because it's in all of us, man, and we've been doing it so long. It's just cool.
And I try to explain to people in the old days, like when you walk into a room, It's where we lived. It basically looked like a rehearsal studio. There's just equipment, amps, drums, guitars everywhere, leaning against the walls in every room of the house, basically. And it was just, and everybody likes such different music. Like, I'll never forget when Jamie introduced me to Hanoi Rocks, and I was like a guy at that point who liked Tesla and Dokken, and I was coming from the East Coast, so I was such a jock kid and listening to all that stuff, and then having opening my eyes to, like, different acts and different music that I would never even, I just hear the name, be like, yeah, whatever. Never really got interested into hearing anything from him. And then, and then when Dave Zink came from Northern Cal, and he had his record collection, it was like a completely other, like when he brought like down Vane and all bands like that. So I think,
I remember you singing along to that Vane record, note for note, man.
oh,
Nailing
dude,
it.
I know, dude. It's so funny. It's so funny. I could still do that shit too. It's hilarious. So I
was a great record, man.
dude,
Yeah.
that is one of my favorite albums. But the crazy thing is, a couple years ago, I guess he jumped up with you guys. It was a while ago. I remember I lived. It was at least 5 or 6 years ago. But all of a sudden, my phone rings and I'm looking at the number. I'm like, I don't know this number, so I didn't pick up. And then all of a sudden, it calls again. I'm like, yeah, I'm not picking that up. I don't know who that is. And then Brick calls and is like, dude, pick up your fucking phone. I'm like, what's up? He's like, it's Davey Vane. He's like, he needs the words to whatever song you guys are playing, Secrets or whatever. I'm like, all right. So I go get my CD and I'm sitting there. I'm telling him the words to his own song and he's writing it down. I was
That's
fucking
awesome.
dying, dude. It was crazy. And of course, like I said, like he played, Jamie was DJing, Tammy's old club on Santa Monica, Dragonfly. And Vane played. It was the day after Thanksgiving. And I met Davey and I was like, yo, I'm a friend of Brit's, this and that, because I was a big fan. And I gotta be honest, he was kind of a dick to me. Like I go, hey dude, I'm gonna record the show and I'll give you a video of it. And he's like, yeah, dude, can you not record the show? Like, I don't want people, anybody jacking my stuff, everybody tries to steal from us. And I was like, I was gonna be like, are you fucking serious, bro? Like, no one's even thought about you in 10 years. Relax. You should be like, dude, thank you so much. Here's $10
Yeah,
and a drink.
nowadays that doesn't, none of that matters. Everyone's filming and putting it on YouTube and everything. So it's
Exactly,
just,
dude. I mean, you think even that show, like with Guns coming back at Planet of the Troubadour, I'm like, there's gonna be footage. Some asshole
of
took
course
it.
there. Yeah, somebody. Well, didn't they try to keep the phone down or something? But I'm sure somebody probably might have got one in.
People were taking pictures at first, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, the full video. But I'm pretty sure they recorded that show for something that's coming up. I'm sure after this tour, after the stadium tour, I'm sure they're gonna release something to make $1 billion more. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I mean, dude, honestly, like I saw Slash over the summer play in New Jersey. It was like this thing, and all these bands played, and it was in Clark, New Jersey. It was called the Food Truck and Rock and Roll Carnival, and Slash played. And I forget, Miley Kennedy, I think, is a singer. And they were doing Guns N' Roses songs. They were so fucking good. Guns N' Roses never sounded this good. And Slash was on guitar. It was the Miles Kennedy something with Slash. And dude, let me tell you, they played almost the whole first album. And
Really?
Axl, on his best day in Guns N' Roses, could not sound as good as this guy sounded. It was
Really?
unbelievable. And just the fact that Slash was there playing was like, all right, that's all he's sitting there, he's got his hat on, he's on the side of the stage doing his thing. It didn't matter if Axl was up there, but I'm telling you, that guy, he nailed it. He was, and now when I'm watching some of the footage of Axl playing now, I'm like, eh. He's sitting in that chair on stage. It's just, to me, I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Dave Grohl could pull that off. But I know it's fun.
Axl was amazing in his prime for sure, definitely.
Yeah. What was your favorite LA band that got signed and pulled out of LA? And you better not say Warrant, motherfucker.
I didn't like really any. I wasn't a big fan of Warrant or Poison, any of those bands. But I mean, I like Guns N' Roses. they were when I was in high school, I used to go out and see him play the Troubadour and stuff, and try to think who else. I mean, I thought Lions and Ghosts were great. That was Rick Parker's band, way pre Sparkler.
Yeah.
Dude, but they didn't really.
I gotta tell you,
fine, but they didn't really, you know, make it. But they're a great band.
I gotta get some of that music. I gotta tell you, Rick Parker, out of anybody, like that Sparkler album to me is something special, man. And there's a hidden track too, after Grand Arrival. There's a hidden track, and it's called Wicker Park. And you know, it's not listed, and you get, it just plays on, and then all of a sudden the song starts. But that guy, I think he's one of the most talented singer-songwriters that I've ever heard, man.
No, it's great. Totally. That's a great record, man.
When Tommy, I talked to Tommy, and he just, that record just came out, and I bought it, and I was just still, I moved back and stuff. I was in California when that came out. I was amazed. Like, of course you're going to listen to it because it's your friend. You're like, I'm definitely going to give it a look. But, dude, honestly, then he, when he joined Palo Alto and that album came out and, you know, Rick Rubin produced it, I'm like, holy shit, man, Rick Rubin. So I put that on, and I think James Grundler, again, Tommy's been with some of the greatest singer-songwriters around, in my opinion.
Oh, totally. That's a great record, too, Palo Alto.
I love that, dude. I love that band. And then when he was in Golden State, have you seen Golden State? They're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same band. I don't know if they played. I can't remember. I saw them a few times, and I think they still played some of the Palo Alto songs.
Yeah, they're still they don't play Palo Alto songs when I seen them last time. But
probably maybe not anymore, maybe. But back then, they just transitioned, I think. They just changed the name. So
They're playing out again. I just saw, like, he's got an EP coming out, and he's playing a bunch of shows in L.A. again.
That's cool.
But he's unbelievable, man. That guy.
No, he's super talented.
Dude,
yeah,
I can't believe that they're not huge.
I know. And so many of the bands that, I mean, like, they were, like, Muse came out maybe around the same time, and Muse is huge, and those guys, to me, were totally better. I mean, I remember hearing them thinking, oh, this band Muse, they sounded kind of similar, you know? And,
yeah.
Muse is, you know, they're a good band, but they, I think that Palo Alto record was great, for sure.
Yeah. Like Muse?
And Radiohead.
Yeah, dude, like Muse and like U2 and the Coldplay mix in all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, man, I, dude, I totally enjoyed talking to you, and I'm glad I got to do this, and I know you're in traffic, so you really have nothing else better to do.
Now I'm on a nice tree-lined street in Pasadena.
Nice.
Back,
I know.
Back to the hunt. Back to my roots. I love coming to Pasadena, man.
I still love Pasadena. Yeah. You know what? It's when you go south of the 210 in Pasadena, it is awesome.
It's the best part of LA, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a great. Yeah. You know what it is? It's old money, and that was like really the .com kids. You know what I mean? That was a lot of that. Those people moved up to those hills and Montrose. I love Montrose. That's like a hidden gem, too. La Cañada. La Cañada is one of my favorite places. Dude, Sierra Madre for trick-or-treating is like the greatest thing you can do on that holiday. Hands down.
Yeah.
I love it up there. Hey, well, listen, man, dude, it was great talking to you again.
You too, man. I miss you. Are you coming out for the show this year?
You know what, dude? I'm going to miss the show. You guys, the dates got changed a bunch of times. And
it's kind of a screwy year this time. But,
dude,
you know,
are you ready for this shit? Nicholas is graduating high school this year up in Ventura.
Nicholas.
My son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. Can you fucking believe it? I mean,
that's
crazy. So I'm going to his graduation on June 9th. And I'm not going to make it to the show this year. But next year, I think I'm going to really get behind the show. And, you know, I'm going to come out. You know how I say.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's the great thing about this is like everybody. A year goes by quick, man, and it's so good to see everybody. Just you know, and even if it's once a year to see everybody, it's just amazing. You know, that people come from all over, and everybody that was such a part of everybody's lives back then, you know. So it's very cool.
Yeah, dude.
It's a total, it is a reunion, you know. So,
and as Britt says, I have a pretty, I got a big draw. I got a bigger draw than most of the bands. Oh shit. He goes, dude, we got to get Joe to the show. He definitely draws at least 50 people. It's pretty funny. But,
funny.
Yo, did you see, I had both my kids go to the Roxy show years ago. Laurel was there. Me and Laurel showed up at the kids. And I was like,
the swinging thing and after the Roxy, right? I think.
Well, it was no Glamour Punks.
Oh, Glamour. Okay. Oh no, I think it was all three of us actually.
Yeah, swinging thing. Yeah,
we
it was.
We only did it one time at the Roxy, I believe.
Yeah, but anyway, that was
great. Yeah.
That's a great show, seeing everybody. But listen, dude, tell Kim I love her. I miss her.
All right.
Love you too, man. And definitely, right, I want to make it out there to see you guys. And
anytime, really, just let us know, and we'll yeah. Let us know.
And look for Joel at the Blackboard Jungle reunion show on May 28th at the Viper Room. And go up to him. He's the nicest guy ever, and he'll buy you a free drink, anybody, because he's rich now. He has his own business.
I'm not rich. Now I'm in debt, but
it's good debt. It's good debt.
It's good debt. Exactly. All right, man.
Congratulations on your business, dude, and congratulations on your move, and I will see you soon, buddy. Thanks for calling
All
in.
All right, Joe.
Take care, buddy.
Dude. Nice chatting.
Love you, man. Bye.